We have a tradition of standing for the gospel here at Fisk. Of course, when Jesus listened to his words, people were probably sitting, right? And this is a rather long word today from Luke, the 15th chapter. You're going to get a triple dose of the prodigal son this morning. You've already heard the story from Susan. I'll read it now from the gospel, and then I will tell it in yet another way. So from the 15th chapter of Luke, we read, "Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, 'This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus said, 'There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands." So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder brother was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. The slave replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, "Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. O Lord, as this story was told for our sake, let us come to our senses and be saved. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. All right, now we'll tell the story a different way. A poem entitled "The Prodigal Son" by James Weldon Johnson. The poem is from Weldon Johnson's book, God's Trombones, and his subtitle for the book is "Seven Negro Sermons in Verse." Weldon Johnson was part of the Harlem Renaissance, great American poet. He knew the city well, and you'll hear reflections of Harlem in the 30s as we read the poem. Oh, if you're wondering why I'm reading the poem, it's just for the pleasure of it. And because it paints a picture, I think. The Prodigal Son by James Weldon Johnson. Young man, your arm's too short to box with God. But Jesus spake in a parable and he said, a certain man had two sons. Jesus didn't give this man a name, but his name is God Almighty. And Jesus didn't call these sons by name, but everywhere, young man, everywhere is one of these two sons. And the younger son said to his father, he said, Father, divide up the property and give me my portion now. And the father, with tears in his eyes, said, Son, don't leave your father's house. But the boy was stubborn in his head and haughty in his heart, and he took his share of his father's goods, and he went off to a far country. There comes a time when every young man looks out from his father's house, longing for that far-off country. And the young man journeyed on his way, and he said to himself as he traveled along, this sure is an easy road, nothing like the rough furrows behind my father's plow. Young man, smooth and easy is the road that leads to hell and destruction. Downgrade all the way. The further you travel, the faster you go. No need to trudge and sweat and toil. Just slip and slide and slip and slide till you bang up against hell's iron gate. And the younger son kept traveling along till at nighttime he came to a city. And the city was bright in the nighttime like day, the streets all crowded with people, brass bands and string bands a playing, and everywhere the young man turned, there was singing and laughing and dancing. And he stopped a passerby and he said, tell me, what city is this? And the passerby laughed and said, don't you know? This is Babylon, Babylon, the great city of Babylon. Come on, my friend, and go along with me. And the young man joined the crowd. Young man, you're never lonesome in Babylon. You can always join a crowd in Babylon. Young man, you can never be alone in Babylon, alone with your Jesus in Babylon. You can never find a place, a lonesome place to go down on your knees and talk with your God in Babylon. And the young man went with his newfound friend and bought himself some brand new clothes, and he spent his days in the drinking dens, swallowing the fires of hell. And he spent his nights in the gambling dens, throwing dice with the devil for his soul. And he met up with the women of Babylon. Oh, the women of Babylon, dressed in yellow and purple and scarlet, loaded with rings and earrings and bracelets, their lips like honeycomb dripping with honey, perfumed and sweet-smelling like a jasmine flower. And the jasmine smell of the Babylon women got in his nostrils and went to his head, and he wasted his substance in riotous living. In the evening, in the black and dark of night, with the sweet-sinning women of Babylon, and they stripped him of his money, and they stripped him of his clothes, and they left him broken ragged in the streets of Babylon. Then the young man joined another crowd, the beggars and lepers of Babylon, and he went to feeding swine, and he was hungrier than the hogs. He got down on his belly in the mire and the mud and ate the husks with the hogs, and not a hog was too low to turn up his nose at the man in the mire of Babylon. Then the young man came to himself. He came to himself and said, in my father's house there are many mansions. Every servant in his house has bread to eat. Every servant in his house has a place to sleep. I will arise and go to my father. And his father saw him afar off, and he ran up the road to meet him. He put clean clothes upon his back and a golden chain around his neck, and he made a feast and killed the fatted calf and invited the neighbors in. Oh, sinner, when you're mingling with the crowd in Babylon, drinking the wine of Babylon, running with the women of Babylon, you forget about God and you laugh at death. Today you've got the strength of a bull in your neck and the strength of a bear in your arms. But some of these days, you'll have a hand-to-hand struggle with bony death and death is bound to win. Young man, come away from Babylon, that hell-border city of Babylon. Leave the dancing and the gambling of Babylon, the wine and the whiskey of Babylon, the hot-mouthed women of Babylon. Fall down on your knees and say in your heart, I will arise and go to my father. It's a fine poem by a fine American poet. But you notice he left something out. The title of my sermon was A Tale of Two Brothers. And Weldon Johnson rightly understands the parable as a story about repentance, but it's also a story about mercy. And if it's a story about repentance, it's not only about little brother, is it? Because there are two sinners in the story. Now, little brother, we're probably thinking, is the poster child for folks who need to repent, right? He shamed his father and himself. He's wasted his inheritance. He's wasted his life and apparently his future. And after a fine stretch of life lived large, he's landed himself, according to Rabbi Jesus, in the pig pen. You can almost hear Jesus' listeners saying, unclean, unclean. For indeed, the younger brother's life is a pathetic and filthy mess. But there is another sinner in the story, isn't there? He's one with whom we probably have more in common than we do with little brother. Big brother is his name, and he is dad's dutiful son. He gets up and he goes to the fields every day. He works hard every day. He goes to synagogue with dad every Sabbath. He doesn't complain much, maybe. And he'll wait for his inheritance as a respectful son should, which will only come when dad finally shuffles off this mortal coil, that is, kicks the bucket. But do you notice that something is missing here? Something's missing in this man, isn't there? He complains, you never threw me a party. But don't you wonder if he's ever said to his dad, Dad, can we kill the fatted calf and have some friends over and have a good time? Can you imagine him saying that? I don't think so. Of course, father can be remonstrated for not having himself thrown a party for his elder son. But don't you get the feeling that older brother is not the partying kind? He seems kind of joyless and self-pitying and resentful. We might never learn that if younger brother hadn't come back from the dead. But with the sinner's return to the fold and dad's extravagant welcome, that's what the word prodigal means, by the way, right? It's the father who's prodigal in the story because his welcome is extravagant and abundant. Dad's prodigal welcome of kid brother is just too much. And all those years of frustration and resentment and unhappiness come pouring out. I will not celebrate the idiot's return. He as good as says that. I deserve your love. I earned it. What has he ever done for you? Ah, the words of one who does not understand mercy are how much he is in need of it. I deserve your love, God. I earned your love, God. You owe me, God. You'd never say that, and neither would I. But when Jesus starts talking about sinners who will enter the kingdom before the good folks, well, that's just a little bit hard to swallow, isn't it? Be merciful, Jesus said, as your heavenly Father is merciful. That's the good news, and it is the hard news, too. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, we're good people, or we're pretty good people, and we confess that we sometimes don't much feel the need for your mercy. And yet how much we need your merciful love. O Lord, grant us great hearts for compassion and forgiveness, and let us welcome and be welcomed in your kingdom. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.